And where are you located?
Just on the house right now.
Welcome to the March 13, 2013 Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. The first item on the agenda is roll call. Those present include Chair House, Vice Chair Eckley, Commissioners York, ex officios Buffington and McClintock, Commissioners Elquist and Steele, all the way down here. And next item on the agenda is consent agenda, excusal absence. Commissioners Jensen, Chase, and Ray have called in. We also on the consent agenda have a summary of administrative review approvals. There aren't any comments or corrections. I move approval of the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. Consent agenda is approved. The third item on the agenda is the board briefings. Is there any introduction or?
I can make an introduction.
Sure.
Would you make something else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this is Diane Wyatter, our active transportation coordinator. And she is here to brief the commission on the public design process for the Prairie Line Trail. The city is developing a conceptual design plan for a portion of the Prairie Line Trail, a project to convert the former rail corridor into a pedestrian bicycle trail in a linear park through the heart of the country. The city received a $465,000 grant from the Puget Sound Regional Council to fund the design and preliminary engineering of the trail. And so Diane is here to provide an update briefing on the project and the process forward.
Thank you, Ruben, and thank you, Chair House. I'm really happy to be here this evening. The Prairie Line Trail is a project that is very dear to my heart as a city staff member. It's really nice to be able to work on a project that could have a great impact in a positive way in the city. I would like to start by asking who knows where the Prairie Line Trail is? Nice. And has everybody actually walked through it? Okay, great. So I'm here really to market our big public meeting and presentation tomorrow. This is at the Tacoma Art Museum. It begins at 5:30, but the presentation by our consultant team from Cortland begins at 6. And so I do a little sneak preview, but when the architects, landscape designers do this presentation, it's very poetic architecture ease and much more fun.
Is it not moving?
Is it not moving?
I think you have to scroll.
You have to scroll. Oh, look at that. Okay. You know, Tony, if you would click, then I'm going to just come up here. That'd be great. This is only a mile long, this project, and yet it can have a really big impact on defining downtown. The University of Washington Tacoma owns the portion where it says South 19th Street. They have completed their design of their section. They're going to begin construction in the next couple months. They will be done by the end of the year on their section of the trail. Their Chancellor Friedman is very concerned about materiality and quality, and it looks like this will be a beautiful project that will really raise the bar for the city and what we can do. The city is currently in negotiation with BNSF Railroad to purchase the north and south ends of the trail. We are hoping a contract will be signed in the next few months, and until that time, we can't really go in pursuit of grants for construction or anything. So tonight, I'm just talking about very preliminary design concepts. As you know, Tacoma is the terminus of the Transcontinental Railroad. When the railroad came through to Tacoma instead of Olympia or Seattle, it really defined this place and this space, and the city grew around it. It's important for us and for the University of Washington to continue the cultural recognition and historic recognition of the railroad in our design. I feel like you all could give the historic background details. In looking at the Prairie Line Trail, you have to look at it contextually and what's around it. what's significant are, these are historic structures in the upper left. Because that's a historic overlay zone, there's two different zones, right, Ruben? downtown, nod of the head. This is developable land. So the trail, you can see where it is. This is a big 6-acre parcel that is owned by the city, and there's all kinds of possibility there. This is the streets and grounds, parking lot, all kinds of possibility there. So if the trail were to be a wonderful place, it could be a magnet for development. This is one of my favorite slides because this shows the amount of green and open space in downtown. And this is Tollefson Plaza. So for of our green and open space, this much is Tollefson. This is obviously the Esplanade, and this is the little park that's off of 21st near the 509.
Pugnini Park.
So you can clearly see how some more green and open space would be a great thing downtown. This shows our stormwater. We have some of the most contaminated soils in this area, in part because of the railroad and the way industry and development happened. On the UWT section of the trail, they are treating 42 acres for stormwater. They got over $1 million from Department of Ecology to do stormwater treatment facilities and kind of research. So that's a great thing. Pacific Avenue and its streetscape redesign also is really addressing stormwater issues, and we're hoping to do some of that on the other parts of the trail as well.
Pacific Avenue redesign part of the deal.
The other thing we're thinking about for this trail, so this trail will be, you know, for active transportation, people biking and walking and walking their dogs and going up and down with their children, and but it will also be a linear park and a place of historic and cultural recognition. So in addition, Amy McBride, who's our arts coordinator, she got a grant from the NEA to create a public art plan. And this art plan preceded any of the design plans, and so which is a great thing because it will make art a really significant part of what makes this an interesting place. We have a Prairie Line Trail Steering Committee. We have about 20 people represented on it. And our steering committee came up with these goals for the trail and linear park. This is the community's goals and interests. This has not been blessed or sanctified by our city council. Nevertheless, in creating even the very minimal high-level conceptual design that we've come up with and are presenting to the public, we use these goals to move forward. This green line really represents the fact that, although this is a very short amount of space, there's very distinct character in all of these different places, and the design of the trail could really reflect those distinct characteristics. In some places, there's building walls on either side of the trail, and some it's more open. UWT campus, of course, is its own thing with the historic brick warehouse buildings. So it's about thinking about the trail more as rooms, like we were just talking about the High Line in New York, and those of us who have been there know that you walk and then you're in like a different space. It is like another room. It's another kind of wonderful design place. These are just the all of the elements we have to consider when considering what this trail could look like and how it could function. And these are the kind of initial names or ideas we've given to the different sections. Starting at the south end, some of you will know that there are beautiful old historic brick buildings owned by Forrest German that are currently occupied by businesses down here. But at the end of the street, there's a cliff, basically, and the Sounder train goes through there. So that's just absolutely the terminus, but makes for what possibly a very interesting overlook place. Water Street is called that because the city streets and grounds buildings are above it, and there is a water source that at one point fed the breweries, but it now just fills tanks that the city workers go and water plants with. However, there's a gully that water is piped into, and the gully has become a place where watercress and other things grow, and some immigrant women you'll see picking watercress at times there. Urban Flexible, this is the one that's adjacent to the Jet Building, which is up for sale if anyone's interested, and it's got the Jet Building on one side and the new Holiday Inn Express on the other. UWT is calling their portion of the trail UWT Station because that's where the station was initially, the railroad was first built. The section that's between the Tacoma Art Museum and United Way, we're calling Civic, maybe Art Park, because that's where we would expect people to gather, and it is a place that will be greener than much of the other areas of downtown. And then this is just the Foss Connector. I think it is important to say that the Tacoma Art Museum, you know, has recently received $15 million for an expansion for their new Northwest Collection. So they are finalizing design, and it is pretty great. Olson Kundig are their architects. And so that's development that's happening there. The Pack Ave streetscape is on its way to being built. That's an $8 million investment. University of Washington Tacoma section of the trail is $4 million. So right now there are many millions of dollars being invested in this area downtown, and it's really burgeoning.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
On the Foss Connector portion of it,
yeah.
You're showing the overpass there as part of the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any discussion of continuing the rail line down under, or
the rail line that goes
mm-hmm.
to the 11th Street Bridge? The city's not currently in negotiation with BNSF for that portion of the rails. But we've certainly looked at it. David Bowe was talking about it today. It is a very kind of cool space, and now that you could go up to the Murray Morgan with the elevator, it's something definitely to be looked at in the future. Okay. And this just shows that in our negotiations with BNSF, between 23rd and 25th, we're negotiating for 80 feet of right-of-way. And then 20 feet between 23rd and 21st, which is really adjacent to the Jet Building. Go ahead, and we're suggesting that where we only have 20 feet, the trail be on the rails, because there's no other option really. But where we do have a choice to put the trail adjacent to the rails. This is what University of Washington Tacoma has done. And how many people have seen the designs for UWT? Beautiful. So you know that the rails go in and out of water and different levels and are really integrated beautifully in that design. And we're hoping to be able to do something like that with the city section. This is the current conditions, as you probably know. And this is the gully where there's water and watercress. And to the left is streets and grounds, which is really a parking lot and tanks of non-potable water. Go ahead. Conditions moving towards UWT, and you can see there's kind of interesting warehousey elements at this time. This is possibly what that section between 23rd and 25th could look like at some time. If there were to be buildings constructed on the city streets and grounds, the trail, the tracks, and then connections to development. The notion is that the brewery district will become developed, and there are actually negotiations for a variety of buildings that even as we speak. Go ahead. the plan view of a similar thing. And these are all just high-level conceptual. This is where we want public participation. This is where we want your input, saying what you would like to see there, what works, what doesn't, who the audience is, what the elements will be. Again, another rendering of a possibility. In the plan view. So these are some precedent images. These are, you know, where we're taking ideas of places, public spaces that work well, that have elements that people really like. There's, on the PACF streetscape redesign, there's going to be lights, overhead lights like this between 7th and 9th. The top two images are, you might recognize, from Portland. I've been asked, during the presentation tomorrow, all of the images will be sourced because people want to know where these things are. But we're looking to have many elements that can function in different ways. You know, like this can be seating or playing on landscape around it. More precedent images for the urban flexible spaces. It's almost hard to imagine now, but there could be a time in the not-too-distant future where there's development in the Brewery District and really coffee shops or restaurants that look right on the trail. This is UWT. They have 80 feet of right-of-way through the whole span of their campus. And it is kind of amazing that by December we'll be able to all walk on that 80 feet of right-of-way and see what they've done. And they have, like I said, put the trail adjacent to the rails to preserve the alignment of the rails themselves. UWT again. And then this is the section that's near the Tacoma Art Museum. So here's the Tacoma Art Museum. United Way is that square. And the city has negotiated for 55 feet of right-of-way in this section. So that is really... The street that's called Hood Street is part of that 55 feet. So what the city has negotiated for does not include where the rails run. So the rails are outside the red line where the trail will be located. This is current condition, so the trail will be, you know, on this side.
So the rails would continue in railroad ownership then, at least at this point?
At this point,
they still own the rails mm-hmm. themselves, or the
they
land
do.
And the rails.
And they consider that those rails valuable property for development. Here too. So this place under the 705, it's currently a very odd space. It's noisy, big concrete, not very inviting, a little bit confusing if you haven't been there before. If you're a visitor to Tacoma, you just can never figure out how to get to the Foss. I mean, honestly, aside from the glass bridge, it's very confusing. And so part of this work will be to figure out how to make it legible to get down to the Foss and then back up from the Foss, as well as how to make this feel like a pleasant space to spend time, especially if you're a family or have kids who are moving through. And this is a rendering of what it could possibly look like if we acquired the entire 100 feet of right-of-way near the Tacoma Art Museum. It would allow space for all kinds of either art or things to climb on and have fun on, and just open space. This is a plan view. There's not anybody who's an architect or landscape architect who can look at Tollefson Plaza without wanting to redesign it. So that's not really part of this project, but our designers kind of greened it up a little bit. So this is the Tacoma Art Museum, and I was talking to Stephanie Stevich, who's the director there, and she said, now, wouldn't it be wonderful if this were a place that we're inviting for children? So instead of parents driving to the Children's Museum, playing, and then leaving, they actually like came down here and hung out and did stuff and walked down to the Foss and walked a loop, you know, up the Museum of Glass and back again.
Where's the addition, the Art Museum addition going?
The Art Museum addition is going right along Pacific Avenue.
Back there, okay.
Like Pacific Avenue towards the county courthouse. And it's gonna have glass, tall glass windows that are really adjacent to the sidewalk, so when you walk by you can actually see into the exhibits. Here's some precedent images for civic parks, you know, interesting elements that you might want to hang out and play on. And then here's the ramp down to Dock Street. It exists as it is. It's a piece of infrastructure we're working with. We are interested in it becoming something a little more than it is without having to reconstruct it. So our other bridges across the water are the Murray Morgan, which you know is very significant, and the Bridge of Glass, which is significant in a very different way. And so the notion is that there is some elements on this that will make it significant as well. In this rendering, this is like a slide or, you know, something to pull down, because there is a stairwell there that's quite nice already. Again, precedent images for something good to add that draws you down to the water. That's pretty much it. Place our designers in Portland. They are the same people who designed UWT, so there will be continuity throughout, even though there will be distinct places. And I'm happy to answer any questions or take any comments.
I'm not going to be able to attend the meeting. This might be a question that will get answered there, but I'm curious about interpretation, historical interpretation, how that's going to be handled.
I think that's going to be handled, this is one of those public input things, like how would you like to see it be handled, I think is the question here. Because we don't actually have anything planned, we don't actually have anything designed, we don't actually have any, you know, there's no real... Nothing is for real yet. So I think that that's a question. I mean, maybe that's a question for this commission or, you know, individual questions, but I'd love to hear how you'd like to have it handled.
One of the things that when the UWT was going through their process, they initially had a plan that took the rails out and just left some troughs or indications of where the rails were in the ground through there. And we had requested that the switches and the rails and those sorts of things stay for their historical value, and I believe that they're going to do that. And if we can in this area, that would be something that, if we could plan everything around it, it would be, from a historical aspect, I think pretty significant.
I think you're right, and I think that... after the city is finished with its current negotiations with BNSF, there's going to need to be a conversation about how to acquire this additional land, especially in this section, because there seems to be really broad public interest in doing that. And so, you know, I think it might take partnerships with Forterra getting grants. I always wish there was DAHP funds to purchase a significant spot like this, we might have to have a situation that's like the High Line in New York, where there's the Friends of the High Line, and so creating some kind of group called the Friends of the Prairie Line, and figuring out combinations of public-private donations, maybe. I mean, these are all just ideas for right now, but I think there's a lot, I mean, from where I, so we've been on, you know, this little roadshow, and I haven't heard anyone say, we don't want to acquire that additional land. You know, everywhere I go, the comment is, how can we make this happen, right? Or when will the city make this happen? So that seems to be sort of the common interest.
I was thinking,
you talked about the area where there's like a 20-foot right-of-way. Mm-hmm. Does that preclude preserving the rails when it gets that narrow, or even there in that in a part of the discussion yet about what's going to happen when you get down to narrower bits?
I think that's where the biggest design constraint lies. And the conversation has been about possibly, there's a lot of possibilities, right? And one of them is kind of capping the rails and having a different color concrete, say, poured on top of the rails to signify where they are in that little stretch. It's a real design challenge, I have to say, so that everyone can utilize the trail and it be safe, because the rails always get slippery and it's difficult.
So the other thought I have is I commute part of the Burke-Gilman Trail every day, and there's absolutely nothing on that, at least the part the 4 miles I'm on, that would tell you that that's a rail line, other than I wonder why it's so flat through here.
Right.
There aren't any buildings right. or trees on this, or all the trees are trying to go through it. But I think Commissioner Eckley's point, Commissioner York's point about the importance of interpretation and preserving whatever we can of doghouses, rails, switches. It's as you said, it's a transcontinental railroad. I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. I think everything else is, to me, is secondary. But I also glad that there's the opportunity to have the urban trail, but I just would really think it would be a loss if we were at the Burke-Gilman Trail. It's great. I can bike there. I don't get hit by cars, but you know, it's kind of a bike freeway. And that's about it, mm-hmm. and a nice walking space. But it's essentially a piece of asphalt, and it's certainly much less significant rail line than this by far. It still was a rail line at some point. That's my only concern.
Along those same notions, I think one thing that leaves some room for the sort of interpretive side of the history is the end and the two ends of the rail line. Both that, I forget what you call the viewpoint at the end where it meets the New Sound Transit that runs
the overlook. Yeah.
The overlook. And then also, as was pointed out, where it veers and instead of sort of following the trail line, it goes over the mm-hmm. the overpass, that those two sort of vantage points are an excellent opportunity to understand the trail is actually only a segment. The part that is being preserved and being explored is really just a segment. And that sort of moments at either end might help to enrich that experience by defining that as an interpretive, historical sort of connection, whatever that may be.
That's great. When the public art plan was being created, someone had suggested that there be these art pieces that are just like metal poles with an eye hole. So you have to like stand up on a little platform and you look in that eye hole, and then that eye hole shows you like where the railroad ended, or you know, just points of historic interest. So you have to take sort of like an active moment to stand up to these pieces. And I think that the arts community is kind of, it sounds to me like, interested in not just having like a plaque that says, you know, end of the railroad, you know, history, boom, 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 but allowing for kind of interactive moments that make it more interesting and sort of more like, oh, wow, this was the spot where you could first see the salt water. You know, that Michael Sullivan loves to talk about that moment, right? And but it's true that how important that is. So I think that maybe there'll be more conversations between this commission and Arts Commission on how to do interpretive work that's not so predictable.
I think that's kind of my sense too, is just obviously preserving the railroad itself is important, but again, making that history relevant to the people today, you know, because there's not, I mean, a community-wide, there's people like ourselves, and there's people like the Historical Society, and the, you know, the folks who love history, but outside of that, it's like, our city's history isn't the most relevant thing to people, you know, it's like a lot of people just kind of could honestly care less. So I think bringing in the relevancy into it, bringing in the public art aspect to really draw out these important aspects of the city's history, I think are something that's needed, you know, versus just, again, you know, you have your guy down the street who sailed around the world and you get a plaque in the ground and gets covered up with a garbage can. And at the end of the day, that doesn't do anything for our city's history. So I think something like that, or I'm sure there's a million ideas that could make it stand out.
Right. So I think that we'll lean on this commission to really decide how you want to see the history of this place interpreted. You know, that you are kind of, you are the gatekeepers of the history of this city, and so...
So you have the meeting tomorrow, you take the ideas, and then
so
we might hear back from you.
That's right. So we have the meeting tomorrow. This is a fast-paced thing, I got to tell you. So we have the meeting tomorrow, and then the designers are going to take all the ideas together and create a design, a design proposal. And then we're going to go back out to a number of organizations who are our stakeholders and show that design. Because this isn't the design, right? So that will be a design proposal, and then get comments on that, and then come up with a final design by the end of June. So I'd be happy to come.
By June 2013?
Yeah.
Wow, you're moving fast.
It is moving fast. So, and then the city engineers are going to do the schematic work. And then after we own the rails... We'll seek grants to construct this. There are some transportation alternative grants that are going to be coming up in June, and if in the best of all possible worlds, we would have acquired the land at that time, and then we could apply for grants and look to beginning construction.
Are you looking at transportation enhancements, 22?
It's become transportation alternatives now that
we've got
Map 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they've shifted it up. Because that also has a historic component.
It does.
It does.
You know, I don't know who's on the review panel for it, but we have a couple of historic preservation folks. At least there were, so.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's the one.
In terms of integration of arts in that process, where are the sort of milestones with when specific artists get involved with different parts of the trail, and what the presentation schedule is for what they plan for those projects?
That's complicated. I Amy McBride, I don't want to, you know, misrepresent her at all, but pretty much, very much of what's going to happen will have to be through grants. There's something called Art Town, New Town, NEA kinds of grants that she thinks this is like a prime candidate for. So it'll depend on that grant cycle. We might be doing a 1% for the arts with construction of this project. Would we be mandated for that, Ruben, to do 1% for the arts on this project?
Probably, but you'd have to ask Amy.
We'll have to ask Amy, but I kind of think that's the case, and so that will get the ball rolling, and then it will ultimately be the Arts Commission who makes determinations about this. In their art plan, it's online, I believe. It's pretty great. They want every piece of art that goes here to be very deliberate, no plop art, and you know, some will be ephemeral, some will be permanent, some will be big, some will be small, some will be performance, and it just opens up lots of opportunity.
So is that being integrated into the design that's going to be presented as the first schematic design?
Some elements of that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, expanding on the interpretation aspect of this, I know we've all seen terrible interpretation not locally. I'm not casting any aspersions. I'm just talking about it in our experience on the kids. And a lot of that comes back to the fact that these are written by or created by people who are not professionals. They're done oftentimes by non-historians in-house, by staff or, you know, in different municipalities. So it's my suggestion. It's my suggestion that the artists and the designers actually, you know, work with professional historians, someone with training in public history, you know, because interpretation doesn't have to be boring or separate from the art. It can be, you know, all part of one.
presentation.
We'll stick with the historians. Yeah, that's a really important comment.
Absolutely. I love the idea of the sculpture with
that drop of water in the Pacific Cabin.
Take a look there and see. I mean, I realize we're like really far away from getting those things decided, but that would be really neat.
Just have a random question too. On the part of the trail that goes right by the art museum, mm-hmm. and obviously you're building the trail next to the rail, not, you know, like we don't actually have the rail itself. So as far as, so my big thing is this upkeep in general. You know, it's like if the thing gets built, the path that we're talking about, it's going to be a very beautiful addition to downtown. But so again, as I expressed the Arts Commission meeting, my fear is that no one's going to take care of it. You know what I mean? But that part of it is it's weeded in kind of a blight right now. So the part that we don't, you know, have control over it, does that stay as is, or is there a plan to make that a little bit more beautiful to associate itself with the beauty that you're creating?
These are questions that will need to be addressed, yeah. I guess, is what I would have to say. I mean, that's another reason for acquiring the land, because you don't want to have... See, in this picture, you can see it's all wrong, right? But you don't want to have a great facility on one side and then...
A billboard on the other, maybe? Just as an example.
There is a billboard, and we're going to... The city, I think, is looking at seeing what it can do to... possibly move that. I thank you all for your time. I'm happy to come again. Your input on the historic part is absolutely critical, and Tony's taking notes. I'll bring this to the designers tomorrow, and this will be part of the next design that you see.
Thanks for your consideration and presenting to us.
So I have a question, more I guess for Ruben, but this is not a landmark. It's not a landmark site. So
see the conservation district part of it.
So does the commission actually need to officially review the plan? Or are you trying to avoid that question?
I think I have to look at the conservation district
here.
No, the code has been recently revised, so I think that a lot of this is a sort of a friendly review, if that makes any sense. I have to take a look at this, because there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, and you know it's a kind of a complicated project. But so I'll take a harder look at that, but at least my understanding right now is that is an open space project, not a new building, not an addition to an existing building. The commission has an advisory role in this case.
Taking Marshall's idea further, but once the city owns the rail line property, could it be nominated as a, well, it could be nominated as a landmark at any point, but definitely there's a city ownership as a site.
Yes. I don't
know whether
really,
we want to do that or not. I don't know.
I don't think there's anything in the code that that prevents it from being nominated, and then it's just a call for council to make if this commission elected to support that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Moving forward, agenda item 4 is chair comments. It's Historic Preservation Month coordination. It's going to follow up on the very brief comment I made at the meeting last month. I was invited to attend Historic Tacoma's monthly board meeting in February. And each year, Historic Tacoma prepares an annual working plan. And one of their goals, among many others, is to work collaboratively with organizations in the community, including this commission. They had three items on their plan that they wanted to present, and I'm basically just reporting this more than anything. The first was that they're going to hold a home tour on May 18th, I believe, and I think it's really an exciting idea they have. It's and not to denigrate at all Tacoma Historical Society's home tour, this is going to be a one-house tour picking a house that the owners spent a lot of time renovating and working on themselves. My understanding is the opportunity would be that maybe the contractors, the tradespeople that worked on the house would be there, the owner would be there, could speak to anyone who chose to visit about the whole challenges, opportunities, joys, disappointments about home renovation. At that point in the meeting, they were looking for someone to volunteer a house, and I understand subsequently someone has volunteered their house, and I think it's an ideal house considering what little I know about it, and visiting it once, I learned a lot just by looking at the holes in the wall. So if Frost wants to say anything more about that.
He's talking obviously about my house, which has been under construction, under renovation for 8 years and no end in sight yet. But we're about 75%, and the idea was it would be, as opposed to the Historical Society tour, which is I think the first weekend in May, they usually have houses that are all completely done. And this is work in progress, so it will be an opportunity for someone who has a house in a similar situation or is thinking about buying a historic house to fix up to come in and see, learn from my mistakes pretty much, I think is what it will be. And we're going to open up my garage and workshop and have some of the tools I've used and things that have worked well and things that haven't worked well. It's May 18th, and there's probably be a $5 or $10 charge to actually attend on the tour day. But if anyone can't make it on the tour day, they would like a special private tour at any time.
And you've taken it from like a living area and three apartments.
Yeah, it's a big house. It's in the Wedge neighborhood, and it was built in 1901. It's a three-story house, and it was originally built by one of the pioneer businessmen in Tacoma, a man who had a ship's supply operation down on the waterfront. And it was sold and converted to apartments in World War II, and there was a big housing shortage. So when we purchased it, there were actually three apartments, each floor had its own apartment. So now we're converting it back to a single family house. We're down to just two kitchens instead of three.
And I assume Historic Tacoma will let us know if they need volunteers, like the docent sort of.
That's right, yeah, okay.
That was one. The second one is Historic Tacoma's interest in working with the city on developing policies around landfill charges for building demolition. I think Michael Sullivan made a presentation here quite some time ago, and one of the points that really resonated with me was that if he was speaking accurately, every time I pay my monthly garbage bill, I'm at some level subsidizing demolition fees or landfill fees. Apparently those fees are lower. I don't know that. But what Historic Tacoma is hoping to do, as I understand it, is look to other cities that have policies that might make some level of, not actually discourage demolition, but at least recover the cost. Thank you.
Landfill diversion.
And thank you. And the idea would be that since the city has, particularly now, limited staff and ability to create policy, maybe that I understand Historic Tacoma could present, here are some model ordinances. And I think they're hoping to get some ideas from Artifacts and Michael, or maybe Katie if she was here, to work on that. And the third was continuing to work with the school district to encourage them to nominate schools, historic schools, for the register, assuming this school continues to work that way. I don't know we'd even be involved, but they may ask us at some point to just check in with the schools on how they're doing with that. Is that a reasonable interpretation, since both Ross and Marshall are board members? It seems like for most of these, at this point, we just are kind of, as far as the commission, waiting to see, and we're being informed.
I think there was a fourth one, too.
Was there? I'm sorry.
Is the Landmarks Preservation Commission going to be giving out their annual awards in May for historic preservation?
Right.
There was some discussion about whether Historic Tacoma and the Landmarks Preservation Commission might cooperate, or at least have the award come from both groups simultaneously, something like that. like that was a suggestion.
We forgot that one.
Yeah.
And that concludes my comments. So, preservation planning. Do we want to speak about the awards? Talk about the award planning?
Well, I can. You know, I'll just say that. You know, for the years that I've been here, the preservation awards have. You know, we've done them every year except I think last year. I think they're something the commission really ought to do. And I mean, there's several good candidates, I think, for a number of reasons. This year, I've also, talked to the commission in the past and kind of thought about ways to engage public more. And I think that partnering with Historic Tacoma is certainly a great way to do that. I mean, I've talked about public nominations, like some awards do or something. But around this time each year, the Preservation Month Committee self-forms, self-organizes, and will develop their awards categories and things like that. I think that if there's interest with from Historic Tacoma working with the Landmarks Commission on doing that, I think that's a pretty great and potential collaboration, I guess I'd say. And so the commission has no hard and fast set rules about how the nominations are given. They're typically awarded at city council. However, if they're if there's something different to be done, if the commission wanted to partner with Historic Tacoma and do it in a reception format or something like that, and have party out of it or something like that, that's all also a possibility. I don't know what the Historic Tacoma and the commission would like to do, but I think these are all things that probably would have a potential for enhancing the profile of the awards, making them more fun for people. But we have, every year, and we can furnish this at our next meeting, I think every year we have the list of past award recipients, just to get a sense of how the categories are established. As a certified local government program, the commission is supposed to issue awards for preservation achievement every year. I guess another thing, too, because we have so many residential historic buildings in the city by virtue of the historic districts, that things the commission might want to consider for enhancing and showcasing some of the residential remodels that are done well and done right in the city also is another thing to think about too. So,
do you think it's time for a committee, or do you want to wait till time for a committee? Not time for a committee.
It's time for a committee.
Yeah, it's time for a committee.
Would anyone be interested? Would all of you be interested in serving on a committee to come up with some award ideas and maybe partner?
Yeah, overall planning probably for coordination for preservation model.
Thank you.
Can you provide a list of past projects that have been awarded and what the criteria was used for that?
Yes.
I can send it out to everyone.
Okay.
By email.
Yeah.
Would someone like to chair the committee and call a meeting, like up or something? Or wherever you choose to have your meeting.
Gaze avoidance.
Yeah. Well, you could do that among yourselves. I'd be glad to join you, too, as well. We could have a meeting after the meeting. I'd like to decide when we're going to have a meeting. Are there any other business before the commission? Any other comments, questions?
I just have the letter before you. I'm sorry for the rush on this. But everybody suddenly realizing that the deadline for the state historic preservation awards is kind of question, was it time to form a committee about awards for preservation month? Well, the state preservation awards from the SHPO's office are due on Friday. And the city is nominating the bridge project, Morgan Morgan Bridge. And I, as a city staff person, am soliciting a letter of support from the Landmarks Commission for that nomination. And so I have taken the liberty of drafting a letter for the chair to sign, and this will go as part of the packet, if it's so resolved by the commission.
I would make a motion that the Landmark Commission endorse the letter that's before us. I think it's entirely appropriate.
Second.
Moved moved and seconded by Commissioner York, Commissioner Luce. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion's passed. I already signed the letter, actually. Thank you. Nice letter. We're adjourned.